Good evening. Welcome. Welcome to our calm, serene, tranquil, early Christmas Eve service. Things you need to know. It will all be over soon. Secondly, crackers. Everybody's got a cracker, just about everybody. Write your name on it. Hang on to it. Do not pop it. Okay, keep it that way for the moment. This beautiful display. These knitted nativity figures have been hiding in shops, in cults, in Bealside over Advent. And you may have seen them. The angel was in the Jack Tierney Gallery. Mary and the baby Jesus was in the Chess Heart charity shop. Joseph was in the post office. Why not? The donkey was at Abervet, and that makes sense, you must admit. I just realized there's a thinking here. The innkeeper was, guess, Kelts Hotel. Okay, so I know where you spend your spare time. Right. The shepherds were at Roland's Chemist. The sheep, they weren't in the butchers. They were in the Kinnans. A multitude of angels were where? Oh, the hairdresser called Kaz. That's not a place I'm too familiar with. Right, okay. And the star was at Sonia's gift shop. And that's a cracking place you're sitting there. The wise men were in a gift shop. Oh, come on, you know. Where can you get some frankincense at this time of day? And the camel was in the Blue Door charity shop. They have all arrived here. And if you identified some or all of those characters, well done you. Everything brings us to this moment on Christmas Eve. And we're going to begin with a special prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, remind us tonight that we are never too old for excitement and anticipation, which this evening brings. And so we want to thank you for this Christmas Eve moment. We thank you that our cupboards are full of good things, kitchens full of enticing smells, friends carry words of kindness, cards carry messages of love and affection. Most of all, Lord, we thank you that every tree and every twinkling light and every present and every card and every carol and every cracker is a wonderful and joyful way of echoing your great gift to us, the gift of a Savior, the love of heaven invading life on earth, never ever to leave. So, Lord, in this special Christmas Eve ritual, may our worship be our gift to you, just as your Son is your magnificent gift to us. Amen. Let's begin by singing hymn 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Some of the most famous scriptures in the world, perhaps the best known story in the world, the story of a very special birth, is going to be read for us by John.
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day, in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them, back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed, and what the shepherds said, Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had just been as the angel had told them. Amen.
The shepherds made their journey to see if what they'd been told was true. Everybody's on a journey tonight. Over to you.
Lots of people travel at Christmas time. You can hear from my voice, I'm not Scottish, I'm American, but I haven't traveled, I actually live here. My name is Peter Cross, I'm our youth and families worker, for those of you who don't know me. I want to see who has traveled the furthest, and I have a wee bit of a prize. Has anyone traveled all the way to Scotland for Christmas from, say, Australia? Maybe? Oh, someone's all the way from Australia. We might have won it just there. But let's keep going. Anyone from America came all the way to Scotland to... I see a hand behind a pillar over here. Anyone just from England come up to visit? From England? Wait, anyone from Glasgow come all the way up? Yeah. What about just Europe? Would anyone from the continent come back up? I see another hand. Any South Africa residents come to visit Scotland for Christmas? Lots of people travel from all over. I think, I without pulling out Google Maps and calculating the miles, I think Australia might have won the furthest. Here, I've got this for you. Now I'm going to trust you to pass this. But everyone in this room has traveled in one sense or another to be here with us on Christmas Eve. Whether you've actually traveled to come visit family and spend Christmas together, or you've just traveled through life, if you're wondering why we have a big pile of luggage, it's because all of us have been on a journey from last Christmas to this Christmas. All of us have been through life. We've been through the milestones of life, good things, bad things, maybe the birth of our first grandchild, maybe the first passing of a loved one, maybe a diagnosis of a major illness, maybe diagnosis of the going away of an illness. Maybe we finished school for the first time. Maybe, like myself, I got married this year. That was a big milestone in my life. We've all traveled to be here. Whether you've never even left Aberdeen in all of 2016, we've all traveled through life. And suitcases, to me, are one of the most human things. They're one of the most human things. That might sound kind of weird, but I think they are. Because can you imagine traveling somewhere without a suitcase? Can you imagine any human going anywhere without a suitcase? If you were on the plane with someone traveling, and they're like, oh no, I don't have any bags, you would wonder what was up. You would wonder what was going on in this person's life that they didn't have a suitcase. This little bag actually came from my flat. This is my wife's. It's been all over the world. You wouldn't know it to look at it, but it's been to several different continents, and it's been all around. Bags are different, too. They tell different stories. They have different memories. Here's a rucksack. That's perhaps sport. This one looks, I won't assume the ages of anything here, but this looks like it's probably seen its fair share of life. For those in the back, it's got stickers on. It's probably traveled to lots of different places and seen lots of things. There's a garment bag in here. Now that's something different. We don't use that for everything. There's a businessman's briefcase, maybe an old briefcase, or maybe even, I was trying to think of what this could be. I don't know, maybe imagine a doctor's house call case. I mean, they don't do that much anymore, but imagine if they had to go somewhere. There are different bags for different times of life, different bags for different seasons, different bags for different purposes. We've got all sorts of bags, but as humans, we need them. Men, you know, if you brought a woman, they probably have a bag with them now. Bags are so much a part of who we are as humans. We have to carry things. We don't have pockets built in. In fact, we make the things that we wear have little suitcases in them. That's just the way we are. It's so human. There's an even different type of bag. We actually had a family bring this. A family in our church just recently had a baby. And Ewan asked them to bring the case that they had packed to take with them to the hospital when labor kicked in. How many of you with kids had a bag ready to go when you were pregnant? Yeah? This is one of those bags. I did open it up and have a look. There are nappies, there are clothes, there's lots of different things to have packed. This is such a deeply human bag. Even at the creation of life, we take a bag. We've got to put stuff in. And what strikes me about this deeply human, deeply personal thing about having a bag is I imagine Mary and Joseph. Now, 2,000 years ago, so probably quite different, probably not the disposable nappies, but 2,000 years ago, Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. If she's 9 months pregnant, I bet you they've got a bag ready for when she goes into labor. They're not stupid. They know it's going to happen, and they've got to be ready for it. And I think that's something incredibly interesting, thinking about something deeply human as Jesus' parents having a bag ready for when Mary goes into labor. And what is so important about that is it reminds us again, just gives us something tangible about how human Jesus really was. Jesus wasn't some extraterrestrial who, you know, was zapped upon this earth or came in a spaceship. He was so deeply human. So human. And through his life, he probably had different bags that he carried. He probably had something more like a rucksack that maybe had a change of clothes, maybe some thread and needle to repair some things, maybe some little matzah crackers in case he gets hungry. I'm sure they got the hanger even in first century Israel. But, you know, he's probably got some stuff along with him because he's human. He was a person. He was a regular guy, and he had to carry things. And he traveled through life too, and that is the most important thing. Suitcases have memories, and like I said, we've all traveled, whether or not you've even left Aberdeen this year. You've traveled through life, you've had milestones, you've had joys, you've had laughter, you've had pain, you've had sadness, you've had boredom, you've had an intense busyness, you've had all of these things in life because you've been traveling through life. And Jesus traveled through life the same as us. He didn't experience things just level. He had sadness. He had joy. He had laughter. I'm sure he had some inside jokes with his disciples that he said, and people probably looked at him funny because they didn't get it. Or he probably lost a grandparent. Or he lost a friend named Lazarus. Jesus traveled through life the same as we travel through life. Jesus was just like one of us, and he experienced life in the same way, with all of its hurts, with all of its joys, everything that is this world. He traveled through life just like we did. And it was fitting, so fitting, that the first people called to see the birth of Jesus were shepherds. And as we continue our worship, and we sing hymn 323, the first Noel, we remember the shepherds that were called, the most normal of normal people, to see the birth of Jesus. So we continue with hymn 323, the first Noel.
Thank you.
all this celebration, all this excitement, it's because of something real that happened more than 2,000 years ago. A real baby was born to a real family in a conquered, poor nation called Israel. And this child is both as human as you and I, and also full of the divinity and love of God. This child, Jesus, was born. It happened. That's why we're here now. And this is a poem called Baby Crying. The scene is familiar. A baby is sleeping. His mother's worn out. It's been a hard day. A few hours before, she was groaning and weeping. Just a child giving birth in the usual way.
The place doesn't matter, except it's not cozy. The way that the prettiest Christmas cards say, with kings humbly kneeling, the stable all rosy, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Forget the cattle constructed so neatly, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. Forget the Sunday school singing so sweetly, the little Lord Jesus no crying he makes.
The baby is crying, the baby is human, the baby is God, and he cries with the shock. He cries for the keys to his coming kingdom. He cries for the devil who first picked the lock.
He cries for the mother whose heart will be broken. He cries for the children that Herod will find. He cries for the father whose fears are unspoken, but forever will trouble his uncertain mind.
He cries for food in a land plowed by famine. He cries for freedom behind a barred door. He cries for a judge who will come and examine the reasons for sin and the causes for war.
He cries for the rich who, on hearing him crying, lean over and say, "There now, give us a smile." He cries for the camps full of refugees dying. His tears are Aleppo, Yemen, and Berlin.
He cries for all Pharisees, each of them giving the reasons why sadly they have to refuse. He cries out for Lazarus, both dead and living. He cries for 2,000 years of excuse.
And our patience is thin as a sliver of glass, as we fear this child's crying will never die down. It slithers through time as a snake slips through grass. He would cry us an ocean in which we could drown.
Except it subsides. The baby is quiet. The stillness returns to the Judean night. Whatever is coming, he will not defy it, for he came, after all, to put everything right.
So he cries for the strength that he needs to prepare him to learn obedience in 30 long years. Good Friday will come. Death will not spare him. The world will at last be baptized with his tears.
And his crying at night is an effort to waken the sleeping and dead whom he came to live through. He cries to the God who must leave him forsaken. He cries out to me, and he cries out to you.
Now there's something we need you to do. As we're singing the next hymn, seeing him lying on a bed of straw, every time you come to the end of a verse, every time you come to the end of a chorus, pass your cracker on. Forward, back, sideways, doesn't matter. But every time, at the end of a verse, at the end of a chorus, pass it on. Hymn 310, see him lying on a bed of straw.
Thank you.
down. This bit is very, very simple. You have 2 minutes to find your cracker. And when you find it, crack it open with somebody. 2 minutes, find your cracker now. Somewhere. Anyway, go sit down. Go fast. Callum. What?
It's Tiny Christmas
Jet. What animal needs oiling?
A mouse because it's
so well done. Alright, I'll do that. Okay. Okay. Would you sit down? Thank you. Almost there. Would the rabble at the back of the sanctuary sit down? Thank you. I have been told by Callum. Whoa. Just mentioned the name Callum and a silence descends. I've been asked to read out his joke, what animal needs oiling? Mice, because they squeak. Thank you. But what I wanted to share with you, I heard a lot of cracking and popping, so I'm guessing quite a few of you found your cracker. You searched it out. And at the heart of this Christmas Eve is the message that God actually seeks us out. This is God's initiative. God in Christ saying, I am coming to you. Together we will find a way to restore love and justice in this wounded but wonderful world. So God seeks us out, just as you have been seeking others out to find your cracker. And the other thing is, in trying to find your cracker, you ended up having conversations with strangers. Something that we're told from the age of four we're not meant to do. You have been meeting strangers and discovering that they're on a similar journey along the way. And when we seek to find something of God's love as He has sought us out, truly strangers can become friends. And our brothers and sisters in a community of faith are people that we travel with. Strangers can become very precious people in our lives. But there's one other cracker that has to be opened. You see, this cracker, the whole thing about crackers is that they contain a surprise, just as the surprise of Christmas is that there's a beautiful hymn that says, God surprises earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. That's the surprise of Christmas, that God has given us a Savior. And all the crackers we have are a way of echoing that. There's a surprise in here and we don't know what it is. And I was told and I've forgotten. So we are going to open this cracker. And we have two trumpeters and a psychotic cymbalist who are going to make the biggest noise. But before you start, we need two adults and two children to open this. It's going to take an effort. Two adults. If you're an adult, as a child, yeah, come on out. You come out. And I need two adults. Oh, here comes one. Okay, kids, one more adult. Adults are coming in small these days. One more adult. What? Oh, here comes Mum. Great. Wait. You grab up. Wait. No, wait. See them up there? Right, listen carefully. We're going to get a drum roll and everything else. Don't yet. Go.
Especially you two.
Don't.
Hey, you guys.
Right, go and sit down at the moment. Go and sit down. Sit down. Out.
That was fun.
With the honor of this child, thank you. Thank you. Theology's a bit dodgy. Right. If I had known actually what was in that, I'm not sure we would have got this far. But if that was a surprise, remember, God surprises earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas Day, the Christ child. So let's sing about that. We'll stay seated and let's sing gently and beautifully hymn 309, Still the Night. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Let's share a prayer. Lord God, we thank you in our clumsy way for hymns and carols which are so much more than words and music. Sometimes they are traditions, securing our place in an ever-changing world. Sometimes they are memories and emotions set to music, defying analysis but offering deep comfort and joy. Sometimes they contain dreams we have almost forgotten, dreams of a better world and a better way. And sometimes, Lord, they gather up mystery that we too easily dismiss, for test tubes and equations cannot contain all this world's truth. So thank you, Lord, for tonight, for its mystery and for its joy, for its glorious proclamation that you are becoming one of us, that one day we will be one with you. And as we return to our homes, may the music of angels be in our hearts and the peace of heaven be in our words. And may love that we can barely fathom, love humble enough to embrace the poverty of a stable, may that love find welcome in our homes. For this season rings hollow if it does not chime with heaven's proclamation, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Two more things to share with you. As you leave at the end of our last hymn, there's an opportunity to contribute to our retirement offering, which will be shared between Sunrise Partnership, a wonderful charity working with children in Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire who are struggling with loss and bereavement, and Build a House Project in Nepal, where the Church of Scotland is hands-on involved in helping people who have been made homeless by earthquakes to rebuild their homes. But also, at the end of our last hymn, coming down this way, at each row, you will be receiving little light ones, these. And what I want you to do is, as you get them, snap them, let the light shine, because when you leave this place, you're taking the light of God's love with you. It's to be seen and it's to be shared. So as you get one of these, snap it, wave it, take it out with you as you take out the light of God's love. Let's finish with the last hymn, hymn 321. Come and join the celebration. May the wisdom of the wonderful counselor guide you. May the peace of the Prince of Peace pour into your hearts. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this Christmas Eve and always. Amen. Happy Christmas when it comes. Bye.